Five, four, three, two, one.
Hello and welcome back to the FF Astronauts Analytics Show. I'm Ryan Keeney, your host. You can find me at rbkeeney or visit us on our website at ffastronauts.com. Welcome back. Let's jump in. So good week in week three here. I guess looking forward to almost completing about a quarter of this season. So take a look at actually some different things this week, primarily around like who's been the most lucky or unlucky so far using our expected points model. And then kind of go through just a couple players that were interesting and do a little deeper dive actually on some of the rookie wide receivers that all had pretty good games last week. So that's kind of on the show for the docket. Let's jump right in. So starting kind of off on our weekly review, wanted to start off and talk about some running backs. And there's really three I wanted to highlight here that are kind of really standing out to me at this point as being kind of interesting and worthy to talk about. If you want to go check out our full model or different things like that, we'll have that for you available soon. But these three players that are pretty interesting to me. So first of all, Alvin Kamara had a fantastic game, but he's actually been performing really well in our models or the different ways that we look at our metrics so far. So he's actually run over 20 routes per game. He's number two actually overall. I know you think he's number one overall because he's definitely number one overall in fantasy points, but he's number two overall in expected fantasy points with 72.9. And that's because he's seeing an exceptional number of targets per game at over 10 per game. And he's actually seeing the third most red zone touches per game. So he's seeing about 5 red zone touches per game. So all those kind of high value targets going to Kamara, even with Michael Thomas out, looks like he's going to be used possibly even more in the receiving game. Those are all good things for Kamara. Now, that being said, seeing him have like a 44-point week, 45-point week in week three, that's definitely above his expectation. But that's something he's just kind of continued to do throughout this season so far, where he's actually he's number one in points over expectation with 33, close to 34 points over expectation. So he's a player that is not only gives scoring the fantasy points, but his kind of baseline production is fantastic. He's definitely paying off if you draft in the middle of the first round, possibly buying some of the contract doubt going into the season. And he looks like he's going to be, you know, without the Christian McCaffrey, without the Saquon Barkley, kind of in that top tier. You know, you're looking for that group. Zeke, Kamara, a few other players are absolutely in that tier right now and living up to the draft capital that you did spend on them. Next player I want to talk about is Mike Davis. So Mike Davis is stepping into the Christian McCaffrey role. There was some concern it'd be him or Reggie Bonifant. Does look like it's going to be Mike Davis. He had close to 82% of the snap share, saw 9 targets. He's an average athlete, so I don't know how he's going to take advantage of kind of situations if they're facing different defense or not. But again, like as we say, we like to follow the opportunity. We don't track the defenses here. So, you know, if he's getting that opportunity on a weekly basis and he was 22 expected fantasy points this week. That's about what he actually scored. So he's able to take advantage of the opportunities being given. So he's a player that I'm kind of excited to see going forward. And I guess we'll see. James Robinson is another player I want to talk about. He's a player that's getting a lot of hype and a lot of love, even in dynasty circles. So I've seen some interesting trades for him this week. And what I wanted to talk about primarily with him is that the points that he's been getting, he's been consistently outscoring his expectations. So even on a team that hasn't generated a ton of opportunities for that offense, they've been playing at a slightly slower pace. You know, we don't think of Jacksonville as a high-powered offense. He's still getting about a 10.5% target share, only sitting around 60% on his snap share. His expected fantasy points is more similar to David Johnson and Kenyon Drake or David Montgomery. So, you know, if he was scoring closer to those expectations, you know, he'd be a player that would be largely probably overlooked. But because he's had a few games where he's, you know, got into the touchdown twice last game and he's overperforming expectations, Even some of my colleagues are really liking the film that they're seeing. He seems like just a very consistent player. Is taking what's given to him. He's definitely exciting. We love to see undrafted free agents perform, but I would say kind of temper your expectations going forward. I don't see him performing kind of as a top 12 back going forward. That being said, you know, if you picked essentially, you would have got him for free in your leagues, and he's going to be providing probably mid-range RB2 numbers for the rest of the way. If he can continue to see kind of opportunity growth in especially the passing game, or Minshew can be even more efficient, not just in terms of his like passing yards per play or things like that, but also in terms of like volume of plays, he could live up to kind of where the expectations. But for right now, I'd say there's reason to be like a little patient with him. There's reason to just kind of slow down and maybe don't get ahead of yourselves. There's plenty of players who just haven't been quite as lucky as he has been, for a multitude of reasons, but it's kind of where I see him slotting in. So, all right, let's move on to wide receivers. And today for wide receivers, I want to talk about a couple rookies and kind of go through it in terms of how they did in week three and talk about Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, Justin Jefferson, Jerry Jeudy, and maybe a note or two about Chenault or CeeDee Lamb. But primarily want to focus on these top kind of new guys who are kind of breaking in with their snap shares primarily. So Brandon Ayuk is up first. He saw expected fantasy points close to 18, actually. He scored a little over 20. So that was really encouraging for him to see. San Francisco absolutely needs a wide receiver. So we'll see if Debo is back or not. Kittle being back as well. I do have some possible concern. It looks like where he's being targeted on the field is pretty close to line of scrimmage. It's like 5.6 depth of target. So he's going to need some of that consistent volume and being worked into the offense in a way that he's going to be operating in space, getting operating like in near the end zone, things like that. Those are things that hopefully will continue for him going forward. But I would say with the injuries that the San Francisco team has suffered, he's a player that's absolutely stepped up, at least in this 1 week. Tempered expectations going forward, but seeing that snap share get up into, you know, the mid 80s is quite good. Seeing target share above 20 is all really, really encouraging. Maybe bump that down if Kittle or Debo comes back. I'm kind of curious to see how that would go with him. He's number one on the week, but I think maybe some of the guys after him I'm going to mention about, I'd be a little bit more excited about. So T. Higgins is the next player I want to talk about. T. Higgins is actually kind of operating in a sort of crowded wide receiver core, if you think about it that way. However, AJ Green, as we talked about last week, was being very inefficient with the opportunities that was given. So it looks like the possible switch has been made, where Boyd and Higgins are kind of replacing an inefficient AJ Green. Now, I don't know if that's just kind of a week one trend. You know, we want to be very careful. We want to see this happen over time. Our projection model isn't going to jump all in on Higgins because he had almost 17 expected fantasy points and then again scored over a little over 20. But seeing him operate at almost a 90% snap share and see again over the 20% target share mark is really awesome for a rookie in his third game. Actually, I think he's only played two. But in the third game of the regular season, that's awesome. And we'll kind of have to see if in the next week or two if he's going to be kind of solidifying that role, kind of taking over what I would call probably the close to the 1B behind Boyd, depending on how they're going to deploy Boyd. Because Boyd led the week for that team in terms of expected points. But Higgins was pretty close as well. And close to 17 expected fantasy points is really, really good. So a positive note on Higgins. And that continues with Justin Jefferson. Now, Justin Jefferson, definitely probably the player that caught your eye this weekend, just because he scored over 30 fantasy points. Now, his expected fantasy points were considerably less. He was very efficient with his touches. So he saw about 16.1 expected fantasy points. That was on about an 82-81% snap share. He's only running a limited number of routes, but that's really just a function of the offense. So he's only saw 27 routes as compared to like Higgins, and who saw like over 40. So in his last two games. So that's a big difference. You know, if we're talking about that, it's like 10 to 15 routes difference between the two. So if you're kind of chasing an opportunity, possibly maybe T. Higgins is a player you'd look at. But in terms of a player that's facing less competition on the depth chart, it's absolutely Justin Jefferson. As we talked about last week, Thielen was seeing like over 50% of the air yards in that offense. That may change. It's going to change, but it's reducing and possibly going to see that work go to like a Justin Jefferson. So he's a player that I had as my overall wide receiver 3 going into the year. So seeing him break out kind of this early and seeing him being efficient on those touches, seeing him get 130 air yards last week, 37% of the target share, again, on a lower amount of snaps, so on a lower amount of plays, so like the variance might be higher, right? But that is fantastic, and that offense needs a wide receiver too. And so if he's going to be kind of put into that role, I would have to say, like, probably I would follow the target share and the air yards for me personally over the expected points, because they're all very similar this week. And I'd probably put Justin Jefferson 1 just because that team is underperformed as a whole. Minnesota's underperformed as an offense as a whole, and that defense is struggling, so it's leading them to have to possibly throw the ball a little bit more. And Justin Jefferson, as we've seen with even Diggs and Thielen, both of them can be valuable fantasy players, even on a relatively limited number of opportunities, just in the way that they like to run their offense. So he's probably the top guy out of this list, but I guess we'll see. Going forward, game to game, it's very, very noisy. So we'll be monitoring his air yards, his expected points, share of offense, all for all these guys very closely. One of the last wide receivers I want to talk about, rookie wide receivers, which, you maybe don't think of him as kind of having this breakout week because it didn't actually show up in the box score if you're looking at your fantasy point mat and your fantasy matchups. And that's actually Jerry Jeudy. So Jerry Jeudy actually is expected to score about 14.1 expected fantasy points. He scored closer to about 10.5 in PPR formats. Probably a result of just absolutely terrible QB play. He's also had a drop or two. He's been a little bit nicked up. So hopefully he's continuing to play going forward, but there's some really positive signs for him, and that's that he's been over 10 expected fantasy points every game. In fact, if you look at it from an average expected fantasy points per game, he's actually been better than CeeDee Lamb. Now, the difference between the two is CeeDee Lamb is operating more of a higher end offense, and he's been much more efficient with the opportunities he's received, and so he's scoring above expectation. But Jerry Jeudy is just underscoring expectations, so maybe that'll change, if they're essentially just luck or if the QB play improves. So some positives for Jeudy. I really kind of like where he's going. He's a player that I wasn't quite as high on going into the season as some of my colleagues. That being said, I'm definitely keeping my eye on him. I think he's a player that, if he just has a little bit a game similar to what he's had before, but he just kind of lucks into a touchdown, if you will. He's got some regression coming to him, and if he actually exceeds his expectations for the first time, maybe, in the season, he's a player that people are going to be talking about as kind of the next breakout rookie wide receiver. And there's been a lot of breakout rookie wide receivers. We didn't really talk much about CeeDee Lamb, right? He's been pretty good in terms of point per basis, real points, fantasy points per game basis, and Laviska Shenault. I'll just mention him real quick as well. He's a player that I think we were all expecting to do much more than he did last week. He has actually seen a slightly decreasing expected fantasy points total in each game, which is really confusing. You'd think that his opportunity and snap share and target share would be going up week to week, but it hasn't been. It's actually been slightly decreasing week to week. And that kind of leads me to just start to question, where and how is this team going to be integrating Laviska Shenault into the offense? After week one, we were pretty positive because he saw like a 20% market share. But again, limited number of targets, there's going to be higher variance in that sort of situation. But he's the kind of a guy that I'm, had a lot of hope for, and he just hasn't lived up to expectations, unfortunately. So will his role change going forward with, possibly DJ Chark missing some time or Connolly being wildly inefficient with his opportunity? The opportunity is there for him to step into a role into that offense. We'll see if that coaching staff kind of decides to put him into a 1A or 1B type role with the Chark on the other side, which is, I think, probably the best way for them to go forward. Moving on to tight ends, there's three tight ends I want to talk about today. The first is Zach Ertz. I think just from a perspective of expected fantasy points or our projection model, which is a little bit different, he's number one or he's number two at this point. But with Goddard out, we've seen that in the past where targets and things like that don't go up significantly for him, but it goes up to the point where he, instead of being kind of, we'd call him like a tier below Kittle, Kelsey, maybe Andrews, you want to put him there, if you will, kind of below that tier, he's now kind of just behind or possibly entering that tier for me. So he's a player going forward. If he's healthy, he's like the only legitimate options in that passing game, much to the Eagles fans' chagrin. Although Greg Ward did okay last week, I say go look at him. You know, if JJ Arcega-Whiteside can't do anything, they're losing targets all over the field. That's positives for the players who are remaining and who have been successful. So your Miles Sanders getting plenty of opportunity in the passing game. Ertz going to see probably significant upgrade. And then whatever sort of wide receiver can actually pull together in terms of gathering more of a target share versus kind of like air yards, right? So Greg Ward gathering some of the different targets and opportunities in that regard. DeSean Jackson at this point, seeing the air yards, seeing the opportunity to do like something like 13 or so expected fantasy points a game. It just hasn't been able to pull one of those long touchdowns in, which is what all you DFS players are looking for week to week, or best ball, I suppose. The next player I want to talk about on tight ends is Noah Fant. He's a player that I was looking through his profile again this week, and you forget how athletic he was. He's like 95 percentile on everything across the board. It's pretty unbelievable. He's a player, just like Jerry Jeudy, has been suffering from bad QB play. He was supposed to see about 15 expected fantasy points this last week, so he's a player I'd be pretty confident playing going forward. But in terms of how efficient he's going to be, kind of in a bad offense, similar to kind of like a Logan Thomas, both extremely effective players. They're getting the opportunities, and that kind of drives our belief that we think they're talented, but they're being absolutely hindered by poor QB play. So being inefficient, if you will. The next final player I want to talk about in terms of tight ends is a guy I absolutely love, and that is Darren Waller. Darren Waller is leading all tight ends, actually, in fantasy points. Excuse me, in expected fantasy points per game. Kelsey, I think, is leading, actually, in actual fantasy points, but Waller's leading in expected. He's actually averaging a point and a half more per game than Kelsey. So he is absolutely kind of giving you the edge week to week, just because he's soaking up each and every. It seems like Carr is only targeting Waller, so we'll see if that kind of continues to that extreme, possibly with Ruggs or Bryan Edwards kind of taking on the role there. Renfro, obviously game to game it's going to look a little bit different, but I feel very comfortable if he had Waller. If anybody is kind of selling low on a Fant or a Waller, I doubt they are, they're players that I would be targeting. But that's it for tight ends. All right, moving on to quarterbacks. Quarterbacks, I just want to talk really about one player this week, and that's a player you would say maybe is an MVP candidate. No, I'm not talking about Russell Wilson. I'm talking about Josh Allen. He's been maybe, if not for Kamara and Calvin Ridley and maybe Russell Wilson, although Russell Wilson was drafted a little earlier, I would say Josh Allen probably, you know, is, you know, he's got his foot in the door, in terms of being in the argument for fantasy football MVP, even from a quarterback position, which is pretty awesome. So he's just doing it through sheer amount of volume. So and being a little bit more efficient per game. So he's got, you know, 38 pass attempts per game, which is awesome. Very clearly, kind of well above the norm. There's kind of what at least I was expecting going into the season. He's seeing over 7 rush attempts per game. His depth of target is over 9, so he's pushing the ball downfield. He's about number 6 in the league in that aspect. To Diggs, to John Brown, possibly with John Brown being out, possibly being injured. I'll have to check. Could lower Allen's expectation, right? Because we want to connect. We say like wide receiver talent can drive the ability that the quarterback has, or kind of the ceiling that the quarterback has available to them. It's kind of my philosophy. But he's not throwing it short. He's being very effective when he's targeting John Brown and Diggs, and he's got over 70% completion percentage, which is, you know, depending on which model you look at, if you're looking at NFL Next Gen stats, or kind of an NFL Fast Star model, he's over his expectation. NFL Fast Star doesn't have quite as a bullish prediction. I think it's about a little close between 3 and 4% over expectation if you look at the Next Gen stats. So he's been kind of a surprise for me this year in terms of how efficient he's been. Again, I think we kind of can attribute that to situations where quarterbacks have really good wide receiver talent. I think that's a trend. I think if you want to try to take that away from this week, it's that we're going to be wanting to try to focus situations where the wide receiver talent in the game that's being played is available to the quarterback. So, for example, Nick Mullins, kind of a surprise in that situation where he doesn't have some of those options available. He's been more efficient, much more efficient than we would expect. But if we kind of look at the Russell Wilson with Lockett and Metcalf doing extremely well, and we look at Dak Prescott with the multitude of options that he's got in that passing game, you can kind of go through the list, right? You know, Matt Ryan doing quite well. We see Kyler Murray doing better in the passing game when he adds Hopkins. Matthew Stafford being decent play week to week. And he's got a few good options there in terms of Galladay coming back this week, things like that. So, but the converse is true. Like, the opposite is true as well, where, you know, if we're going into a matchup and we're seeing wide receiver options being severely limited for an offense, we want to be a little bit careful about projecting that quarterback at their ceiling. Now, of course, that can still happen if a player kind of lucks into an opportunity or not, right? But we want to be a little bit careful about projecting him that way consistently. So if we're looking at someone like Gardner Minshew, loses one of the best deep threats, field stretching threats in the game, and DJ Chark, maybe that would have been a reason for us to kind of lower expectations for him last week. So what does it mean going forward? You know, if Julio Jones is out, now Calvin Ridley is popping up in the injury report, that could be a possible risk to Matt Ryan. So anyway, just something to keep an eye out. I'll do a little deeper dive on that in the future. But in terms of like separating skill and QB skill from wide receiver skill, it can be a little difficult. I always find that I just kind of lean back upon the wide receiver stats because they tend to be much more predictable game to game than the QB stats. So that would be, what I would say, like tight end and wide receiver numbers are much more predictable game to game than the quarterback. All right, let's move on to kind of the Leverage Lab portion of the show. And that's in this week's section of the Leverage Lab. We're going to be talking about players who have been underperforming and or overperforming their expectations kind of early in the season. So these are players that if they're overperforming and you've had them on your team, they're off the hot starts, but we're kind of concerned that they're going to be regressing back down to the mean, or it could be a highlight that they're in a bad situation. So be careful. Generally, we're going to think that's more luck. And then over time, the expected fantasy points to actual fantasy points is probably going to even out. So if you're lucky in one few games, you're probably in the future going to be unlucky in a few games coming up, just the way it kind of works. The next thing I'll mention here is that we want to be careful about drawing conclusions about saying like a player is in a bad situation, so they're going to be kind of continually underperforming. What we would rather say is that maybe that their expected fantasy points are going to be limited by their situation. So Mixon is a really good example for this. While he's been underperforming each and every week in terms of his expectations, it's a possible reason because their offensive line is quite bad, but he's also not seeing kind of the higher value targets and touches, so low target numbers that he's seeing and the opportunities that he possibly could see to kind of outscore his expectation aren't being presented to him around the goal line. Or he's just not being able to break a play, a run really, right? Because their offensive line isn't setting him up for success. So that could be a possible situation where we think maybe that'll continue for him. But really, if we look at it from an expected fantasy points perspective, what we will see is that his overall expected fantasy points kind of ceiling will be capped. So he won't have those multiple 20, 25 point plus expected point games, just because his offense isn't putting him in a situation to do that. Where, I mean, if we look like a player like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, he's a player who, while he's been unlucky, he's seeing that like elite level usage, and we should expect at some point he's going to get into the touchdown, he's going to get into the end zone again, he's going to, you know, break a pass, break a run, just as a function of that offense putting him in situations to win much more consistently. All right, so let's, that being said, let's go through the kind of the biggest overperformers and underperformers at each position in terms of expected fantasy points to actual fantasy points. So we'll start off with the running back position. Alvin Kamara is number one. We already mentioned him, close to 40 points over expectation. He's leading the way in terms of total fantasy points by a pretty decent margin at this point through week three. His expected fantasy points is second to Zeke. So Zeke is doing well, but he's not doing very significantly different than his expectation. So Kamara getting the opportunity, you know, like we saw last week, breaking that 50-yard pass play on the side is definitely going to be above expectation. We don't expect normal players to do that. Next player on the list for running backs, and this is just an aggregate, so we're not looking at kind of average stats here, and that's James Robinson. So already talked about him a little bit. The next player is Raheem Mostert, has had a few long runs already this season. Nick Chubb at 16.5 points over expectation, so expected to score about 41, and his actual is about a little under 60. So he's a player that has been relatively efficient considering what we've had. I would actually say, like, we probably compare Hunt and Mixon and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt as being kind of much more similar players at this point. With Chubb kind of breaking a few runs, he's going to look a little bit different. But I think they should kind of continue to creep closer together, unless, of course, Hunt popped up in the injury chart this week, possibly could be an issue. Dalvin Cook, player overperforming. I'll just run through the list here. McKinnon, J.K. Dobbins at this point. He's actually about double expectation, and he doesn't have a lot of expected points, as you can imagine. That's the case. Eckler and Burkhead, actually, surprisingly, pops up on the list. So that rounds it out. And I want to talk about some of the players who are underperforming expectations, so players that I think will bounce back. These are Derrick Henry, number one, at negative 18. Clyde Edwards-Helaire at negative 15. Joe Mixon, negative 15. Elliott at negative 12. And then we have Howard, 9. Jordan Howard, that is, out of Miami. Gurley, negative 9. Zach Moss, negative 9. Edo Smith, 9. Dallas Singletary, negative 9. So there's some players that aren't producing quite as well as you would have hoped. I would say, generally speaking, like, there's a number of players that are kind of like less than 10. We're going to ignore that. We say, like, that's pretty close to what we expect. The biggest bounce back cadets, I would say, out of this group are absolutely kind of the top two. So Henry and Helaire. Elliott, you might want to throw in that list as well, because he's going to get work around the goal line. So if he just has an efficient week or two, he could see himself bounce right back into it. Mixon, we've already talked about him a little bit in terms of not seeing the high value touches. So if he's only going to be seeing kind of those running back touches in terms of carries behind a bad O-line, or maybe a little bit concerned that he's just going to continue to slightly underperform expectations. Now, that being said, in terms of mean expected fantasy points per game, Mixon is just outside the top 12. So he's kind of, that's kind of where I would still slot him in, is kind of a high-end RB2. Some players that kind of might jump around if we kind of look at the difference between expected fantasy points versus their mean expected fantasy points. The overall players would be Elliott, Kamara, Jones, Henry, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Miles Sanders, Jacobs, and if McCaffrey's still playing him, and then Mike Davis actually right next to him. So that Christian McCaffrey, Mike Davis, looking very similar. And Eckler rounds out the top 10. It's just kind of goes to show you that I think going forward, treating Derrick Henry, treating Clyde Edwards-Helaire, treating Miles Sanders is kind of those top tier backs is something that we should be doing. They're all averaging over 20 expected fantasy points a game. Josh Jacobs is real close, but that's an exceptional thing to see, and we probably should kind of be treating them as that top tier, as most players are, right? Nothing too crazy there. All right, in terms of wide receivers, At this point, the players that are overperforming their expectations by the most are Tyler Lockett, so Russell Wilson, Tyler Lockett, at 22. Points over expectation, Juju Smith-Schuster, we've talked about him a little bit. He's almost scored double the amount of fantasy points this season as we would have expected. So he's a player that I think is definitely a sell-high candidate just because he's got 51 fantasy points in the season. He's only expected to score 29.5. That's a huge discrepancy. And if his usage continues as it is, I don't necessarily think that he's going to be living up to his patient. And I think, you know, his value could drop significantly if we start to see that, because players will say, you know, that you put up with a lot if a player is scoring fantasy points for you. And if they're not scoring fantasy points and they're not being used well, player's value is going to just drop like a rock. So he's a player that I'm kind of concerned about. DK Metcalf comes in at number three, Tyreek Hill. So you're starting to see like some efficient deep threats here. Lazard has a few long touchdowns. Cooper Kupp, Robbie Anderson as well, Cedric Wilson in one game, right? He's extremely efficient with the opportunities he saw, Robert Woods, and oddly enough, Braxton Berrios. But some of those players there are just kind of driven from having one or two good games. Wouldn't throw too much onto that outside of maybe Juju Smith-Schuster, because he's definitely kind of the guy that I see as saying he's an outlier in terms of total expected fantasy points, and his difference is quite large. Looking at that in reverse, players that are underperforming their expectation the most, that is AJ Green. So we talked about this last week. He had one of the biggest games in terms of underperformance ever that I've ever seen. Definitely the highest in his career by a significant margin, by missing it by 16. That's driving his total of negative 20 by quite a bit. DeSean Jackson, Quintez Cephas, Damian Dola, Chris Conley, DJ Moore actually, Christian Kirk, Jerry Judy, Robinson, and Hogan round out the top 10. Not too much to say there other than, you know, player like DeSean Jackson, I expect to probably bounce back. He's a player that's pretty reliant on deep targets. So, you know, while his expected fantasy points is pretty solid, you know, mid-30s, he just hasn't, you know, pulled in the points that pulled in the catches and received the points that you would expect. So he's a player I could see bouncing back. DJ Moore is kind of interesting to me. He's on this list. I'm not exactly sure what's driving it. Maybe it's a function of the offense, just being unlucky in general. He's a player I really quite like, and if somebody's souring on him through the first 3 weeks, I'd go pick him up. Kirk hasn't been efficient. Jerry Jeudy is kind of another guy we talked about, maybe quarterback position driving that as well. So, all right, let's move on to tight ends. So for tight ends, the most positive outliers are Tyler Higbee. Tyler Higbee is, I think, a screaming sell high candidate at this point. His expected fantasy points is close to 20. He's scored over double that, over 41 fantasy points. He's a player that, you know, is outside the top 10 in terms of expected fantasy points, and, you know, possibly actually even outside the top 20. But you know, he's doing pretty well so far. So if, you know, you kind of had a player, probably if you drafted Tyler Higbee, you were high on Tyler Higbee, so you're soaking it up going into the year. But if you can find someone else in your league that would possibly take on some of that risk, I would move off of Higbee and see if you could target someone like a Waller, you know, a Hunter Henry, a Jonnu Smith, and possibly even a Gesicki, Noah Fant, if you could. And maybe get an additional asset bet if you're kind of perceived moving down a tier or not. So that's kind of biggest guy for me. Not really anybody else that super sticks out on this list to me. Kelsey's above expectations. Mo Alie-Cox has had two good weeks. Jonnu Smith, Tanya, Akins, Fant have all done pretty well, but their priors are kind of a mixed bag depending on how you're looking at them. Mo Alie-Cox is a guy I'm kind of watching because his opportunity has increased the last two games, but he's been very efficient on the targets that he's received. So we'll see if he can kind of continue to do that. Jonnu Smith is a guy I really like, but it's kind of been hit or miss for him. So that's kind of the biggest overperformers, biggest underperformers. Logan Thomas, you know, it's terrible. Logan Thomas is like supposed to be around 40 expected fantasy points, so equivalent to Higbee. Actually, Higbee's actually got, but he's at negative 13.4 and difference between the two. So he's absolutely suffering in a kind of a a bad situation with Haskins being quite inaccurate in that situation. Next player on the list is Ingram, and then it goes Herndon. And then after that, I don't really think there's anybody I'd highlight as being significant outside of maybe Ertz, you know, the difference between 40 expected fantasy points and about 35, 34 actual fantasy points. Slightly under expectations. He's a player who could bounce back and really provide an edge to your team. Darren Waller's kind of in the same boat, right? He's not missing expectations by much, but because he's not missing because he's not exceeding expectations, players not be, you know, seeing the actual value that he's able to provide to your team. So, you know, if we can kind of catch somebody in a situation like that where they're not valuing, you know, buy high, right? Buy high on Waller is kind of the recommendation. It's like where they aren't quite valuing him where they should be, even though he's been pretty decent so far. So, although if you have anybody who's actually watching the games, you see a bunch of targets to him, they're probably not going to sell. But if he gets a little touchdown luck in the next coming weeks, he's going to be a player that's going to be actually absolutely killing it for your fantasy teams. In terms of quarterbacks tend to be a little bit noisier, and so I'd be careful about drawing different conclusions for them. In terms of expected fantasy points, the list is pretty good in terms of kind of the top 5 to 6 players. Josh Allen, number one in terms of expected fantasy points in the season. Cam Newton, Matt Ryan, Dak Prescott, Mahomes. But if we look at true fantasy points, you know, who's first? Well, it's Allen and Wilson are about tied. And then Wilson, so he jumps up there. He's been extremely efficient on the year. We don't have to talk about him too much because everybody's covering how his touchdown percentage is unbelievable. He's scored over double his expected fantasy points through the season. So if he just kind of can, you know, we're not going to bet against him. Probably think he regresses a little bit, but hey, he's playing at such an elite level. And this, you know, the players like, you know, to some degree, a Josh Allen, a Dak Prescott, a Mahomes, a Kyler Murray. These are players that are able to semi-consistently outperform their expectations for short periods of time. So he's a player, he's in that group of players where if they're gonna let him throw the ball to the amount that they are, he's gonna be returning fantasy points from you, and I don't have any agreement if you want to put him at number one. So players that I'll kind of be surprised that are like highly outperforming so far, you can just kind of think about the players that have been really, really efficient. Tannehill up there at 20 points over expectations, Aaron Rodgers as well, Goff in that kind of 20 range, Deshaun Watson, Roethlisberger close to that 15 mark. Nothing too crazy there. I wouldn't say anything's, you know, well outside the norm in terms of this. Quarterback projections just tend to be a whole lot noisier. In terms of players that are underperforming expectations, I don't think there's really anybody that I would kind of highlight as significantly underperforming expectations. Nick Mullins underperforming expectations a little bit, just because I think, you know, we're going to follow the efficiency through the wide receiver core. Doesn't have that available to him, especially with Kittle being gone as well. And then also Philip Rivers has been just under expectation. So no huge outliers there. No one that I'd really highlight is being absolutely concerned about going forward. But again, for quarterback stats and quarterback projections, we're going to follow players that are doing really well in terms of some not so much expected fantasy points, but in terms of like looking at yards per attempt, looking at EPA per play, and then looking at how often and what type of game situations they're going to be in. So anyway, just don't want to ruin that stuff too much, but quarterbacks tend to be a little less predictable game to game. Follow the QB talent and then look for the games that are going to be, you know, shootouts, if you will. So that's my advice for you. All right, so that kind of wraps up the Leverage Lab for this week. I've got a few hot takes for you. Reviewing last week's hot takes, we said Allen Robinson was going to bounce back, so we got that one right. I said Austin Eckler and Josh Geller are both going to be top 24 backs. Got kind of that half right. Kelly wasn't as involved, and Austin Eckler did absolutely awesome, scoring over 30 fantasy points. So great week for him. One of the final predictions that we had was actually Clyde Edwards-Helaire be a top five back this week against Baltimore. He wasn't. He was number 11 overall fantasy points, or thereabouts, depending on the format. But he actually was top five in expected fantasy points. So again, Clyde Edwards-Helaire possibly being undervalued because his usage in that offense is fantastic, but he hasn't kind of had the play luck or touchdown luck, if you will, that would allow him or like kind of cement his status as one of the top tier backs. So I think that week is coming, and I think it wouldn't be a hot enough take if I said it was going to be happening sooner rather than later. So we're going to leave that off for this week's hot takes. And with that, we'll give you this week's hot take. So first up, Miles Sanders is going to be a top six running back. We already mentioned that he's top six in the season in terms of expected fantasy points average per game. Had a okay game last week, but I think he bounces back. If he outproduces expectations even slightly, he's probably going to be a top five, you know, top three back in the week. Definitely one of the players like Henry, like Aaron Jones, like a Kamara, that has that capability in him each and every week. And it's not going to be that much outside of the norm. So anyway, that's kind of the bounce back for you. I think Jerry Jeudy's breakout is imminent. Just needs a little bit of QB luck to go his way. So they can just be a little bit more efficient in that regard. We'll see what happens. I mean, is it Brett Ripken? Hey, he's not good. But if he's seeing the opportunity, we think maybe get lucky. You know, we don't play matchups here, especially against skill players. But the Jets offense, I mean, defense is terrible. The offense is bad too. So I think Jerry Jeudy, if he's going to continue just about seeing that 14 expected fantasy points per week, one of these weeks he's just going to lock into a 20-point game and everybody's going to go crazy. So anyway, Jerry Jeudy breakout is imminent, I think possibly even tonight, recording on Thursday. Last kind of thing I've got for you is tied to some of the players we talked about today. I think Mike Davis and Joe Mixon both outscore James Robinson this week. Might be a little hot takey, but just to think in terms of, you know, if players regress back to their mean, I wouldn't put any sort of confidence on this because weekly projections are super, super noisy. But I wouldn't, you know, would you be surprised if Mike Davis and Joe Mixon outscored Robinson this week? I think it's more of just a statement that's just saying that I expect James Robinson to kind of regress back to the level that he's been, the opportunity that's been given to him, which is kind of mid-range RB2, high-end RB2, if you will. I think Joe Mixon and Mike Davis are better plays. Definitely don't bench James Robinson if you've got him, just because the opportunity that he's seeing in terms of snap share is pretty good, and you just can't find that in terms of like looking at a different wide receiver or someone else that's playing it, kind of that running back two to you know, flex RB3 position. So he's a good play in that start, but don't overthink it. He's probably a player that's been, he's been outperforming his expectations. I'd see that probably regressing back down to mid-range RB2. So nothing league winning in the future, but you know, he has been so far. So anyway, all right, well, that's it for you guys today. Thanks so much. If you guys enjoyed the show or enjoyed different segments of the show, let me know. I'd love to hear your different comments. I'll try to answer them if I can. Alternatively, you can reach out to me on Twitter at rbkeeney, and I appreciate it. Appreciate you guys' support. Thanks for checking in, and hope you guys enjoy. Go win your matchups. Take care.